So do you like the real thing, or do you like imitation? I guess that would depend on what we're talking about, right? What about, like, food? If you're like me, trying to cut back on a few calories, fat-free, looking for something to substitute the real thing, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. A lot of times what we'll do is we'll shop and we'll buy generic brands to try to save some money. Not the real thing. Doesn't taste the same. Sometimes you can make that sacrifice and sometimes you can't. What about clothes and fashion accessories? You know, if you buy the real thing, sometimes it can be extremely expensive. So we buy knockoff brands that look similar to the real thing, but they're not the real thing. This week, as I was on the internet, I saw something that really, well, it didn't really surprise me, but people were selling the iPhone on eBay, the iPhone 5, the newest, greatest, biggest thing, right? And they were finding out that when they got their iPhone in the mail, it wasn't the real thing. Really, really disappointing, isn't it? When you spend $400 on something you expect to be the real thing, and it's not, it's incredibly disappointing. And we don't like to be disappointed. You want to know something? Jesus bought you with a price. Jesus loved you so much that he gave his life for you. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "You're not your own, but you belong to Jesus Christ. You were bought with a price." So not only did God create you, but he redeemed you. So he owns you. You are not your own. The Bible says that God paid a ransom for you so that you could be free from sin and death. He gave his life as a ransom. He came to serve us and give his life as a ransom. He paid an incredibly expensive price for you. So what does he want from us then? Since he paid an expensive price for us, he is hoping that because of his grace and love that he has given to us, that we will use our life to live it for him out of gratitude for what he has done. Jesus paid so much, he expects the real deal. That means that Jesus expects us to be real disciples. Jesus expects us to be real Christians, not just by title only, but that somehow, some way, people will be able to see that we're the real thing. Jesus said it this way to the Pharisees in Matthew 23. "Woe to you, teachers of the religious law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness." Remember we talked about that in the last few weeks? That Jesus said that those are important. He says, yes, you should tithe, but don't neglect the more important things: justice, mercy, faithfulness. See, the Pharisees knew how to be religious. They knew how to look good on the outside. But on the inside, Jesus said, you're not the real thing. He calls them hypocrites. And a hypocrite in that day was actually an actor, someone who would perform on the stage. Today we use that word to indicate that a person is a pretender, that they're counterfeit, that they're not real. In other words, what you see and what you hear may not be the real deal. Jesus called them out on their character, and he calls us to not be counterfeit. To love justice, to love mercy, to love faithfulness, to be the real thing. The last few weeks, we've been using the term traitors. We've been talking about our message series called Traitors. And what that means is that we need to be people that trade in our old idea and old thoughts of what it means to be a Christian and trade that idea in for what Jesus says it means to be a Christian. See, being a traitor is about participating in a movement that requires us to live out our faith, not just talk about it. So today, I want to talk about trading in our fake for fruit. Jesus teaches a lot about being fruitful and what it means to be fruitful as a Christian. So I want to read to you from John 15, starting at verse 1. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." Production. Producing. In our culture today, that's really important. If you're not productive at work, the boss isn't going to be happy. Right? We are called to produce. And if we don't produce, we are going to be held accountable. So how productive are you? How productive are you in your faith, in your journey of faith? Well, today I want to share with you two reasons why fruitfulness is important. Here's the first one. Fruitfulness is proof that you're not fake. You see, if we don't want to be labeled as hypocrites like the Pharisees were, then we should desire to be fruitful. Jesus says true disciples, real disciples, authentic disciples, not fake or counterfeit, but the real kind, are people who are productive. They produce much fruit. That fruit is the result of remaining in or abiding in, staying connected to the vine, Jesus Christ. If we remain in Him, we are fruitful. If we're fruitful, we can be a true disciple. So being fruitful, what does it mean? It means to be spiritually healthy. Because fruit only grows on a tree that is healthy. Matter of fact, Jesus said a healthy tree is identified by its fruit. Matthew 12:33. A tree is identified by its fruit. A tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. So there are a couple of ways, I think, that we want to produce fruit in our life. One is in our personal lives. When we think about being fruitful, when we think about growing in our faith, we most often think about our character becoming more like Jesus Christ. That is personal proof. So there's evidence in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, in our personal behavior, then we're fruitful. If people can tell from our character that we're more like Christ, then we are the real thing. And for the most part, that's what we strive to do when we try to grow in our faith. And, you know, a lot of times, even myself, we're not so successful in that, right? It's a hard thing for us to do. It's really, really difficult. But we're called to work on it, and we all struggle with that. The second way that we're called to produce fruit is not as, I don't know, probably something we don't think about as much, but we're called to produce fruit in building God's kingdom. being on his mission of sharing the good news of the gospel. And we've been talking about that the last few weeks. And remember that sharing the good news about Jesus isn't just about sharing it verbally. It's more about being the good news, right? It's about being practical and helping people with their needs. Jesus said he was anointed to bring good news to the poor. He was sent to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to recover sight from the blind, to release the oppressed. And we talked about the last few weeks how Jesus' mission statement is our mission statement. When we make that decision to give our life to follow Jesus, we make the decision to be on the mission with Jesus Christ. So the question is there missional proof in our life? Are we involved in helping the poor and needy? What are we doing practically to build the kingdom of God? Are we feeding the hungry? Are we clothing those who need it? Are we providing shelter? Are we involved in the lives of the poor and the broken? Let me challenge us this way. When I examine my life and I ask the question, is there proof in my life that I'm the real deal? Is there proof in my life that I'm really a Christian? Can I see fruit in my life? Usually when I ask myself that question, I answer it by assuring myself that I'm really working on my character. And maybe you think the same thing, that the focus of growing in our faith is more about changing our lifestyle, changing our character. But I think when we fall short is when we fail to think about producing fruit and being involved in building God's kingdom. See, we only got half of it. And if we only get half of it right, are we authentic? Are we the real deal? Now, maybe you're thinking to yourself, Pastor Doug, it's hard enough for me to work on the personal character stuff without the missional challenge. I don't know if I can do it. Let me ask you this. Maybe if you thought about it from this perspective instead, it will help. What if your involvement in the missional part actually helps and works at changing your character? See, because I believe it does. And I believe that God can change and transform us from the inside out when we begin to be on the mission that He has called us to be on. Just maybe, if we focused a little less on ourselves and try to focus more on other people, that God would use that to begin to transform our heart. You see, the kingdom of God is within me. The kingdom of God is within you. And when you share that, it helps grow not only the kingdom physically, but the kingdom spiritually in you, in us. You see, when we experience the heart of God in mission, we become more like Him and we begin to grow in our faith. We want to be fruitful. We want to prove to God and the world that we are for real. So don't just tell them. Show them. Here's the second one. And this one is really, really tough for me. A lack of fruitfulness has consequences. A lack of fruitfulness, fruitlessness, has consequences. Jesus said that whoever is not fruitful will be cut off. If you really want to boil this down, what Jesus is saying is if you're not fruitful, you're sinful. Man. Have to go there? That makes it really personal, doesn't it? That kind of stings a little bit. And if I'm not fruitful, it's quite possible that I'm sinful. See, we have a tendency to try to cover up or hide our sin. Sometimes we fail to confront our sin or even acknowledge our sin. See, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's two different ways to sin. We can commit sins, or there's a sin of commission. You know, we do things that are wrong, that are bad, and it's a sin. But it's also a sin to omit certain things. If we fail to do certain things, it can also be a sin. So we can sin by omission and commission. So maybe you've heard or seen in your children the fact that they like to blame others when you confront them on their sin, right? We did this as when we were kids. When we got in trouble, it was easy to point the finger at someone else. But, blame a brother or a sister, or say something like, but so-and-so did this, right? We try to make the other person look a lot worse. So what we did really isn't that bad, and we shouldn't get punished. See, our lack of fruitfulness in mission can be sinful. We often mask our sinfulness by highlighting the sinfulness of others. Let me say that again. Think about this. We often mask our own sinfulness by pointing the finger at other sinners. So as Christians, we have a passion to share the truth. And we wonder why the world doesn't accept the truth that we want to share with them. Growing up, I remember that my parents taught me it's a dangerous thing to point the finger at someone else, because you always have more fingers pointing back at you than you're pointing at the other person. It was their way of saying, hey, before you point out the speck in somebody else's eye, take a good look at the log in your own eye. That's a pretty difficult thing for us to do. Let me share a difficult example that I ran across in my study in the last couple weeks. Remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Right? God came to Abraham and he says, hey, Abraham, your nephew Lot is living in Sodom, and I'm about ready to rain down sulfur and burn that place. So get a hold of your nephew and tell him to get out of there. And Abraham is like, but God, if there's so many righteous people there, would you save it? And he kind of barters with God, and eventually he loses, and God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know why they were destroyed, right? We know that they were a sexual immorality was their big issue. And that's what we remember about the story. And so it's easy for us to point our fingers at Sodom and Gomorrah and say, man, God, you did, that was, way to go, God. Wipe them out. They deserve it. That's just disgusting. That is true and righteous, God. That's okay for you to do. But then, let me share a verse with you that may change your mind. Ezekiel 16, verses 47 to 50. You have not merely sinned as they did, Sodom. You quickly surpassed them in corruption. As surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, Sodom and her daughters were never as wicked as you and your daughters. Sodom's sins were pride, gluttony, and laziness, while the poor and needy suffered outside her door. She was proud and committed detestable sins, so I wiped her out. The NIV says Sodom was arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. Uh-oh. Now all of a sudden, the story's a little bit different, isn't it? Because as we look at where we live, the question remains, can we be arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned for the poor and needy? Do we overlook the poor and needy just outside of our gates, because people are suffering in our community, in our country, and in our world? But are we concerned? You see, we need to be careful, because sin has consequences, even the sin of omission. And the question is, are we bearing fruit, not just in our character, but in our mission, are we bearing fruit? You see, the church, as a body of believers, we're called to be fruitful. If we're not, there's going to be consequences. And think about this. Maybe, just maybe, the world will listen to our truth when we want to share with the world by caring for the poor and the needy in our community. So just maybe the world will not care about how much we know until they know how much we care. In other words, once the church really starts to be the church and gets on the mission of helping the poor and the needy in our community, once we become fruitful in the mission that God has called us to, just maybe the world will notice and begin thinking there might be something good and right about the truth that they're sharing. You see, sharing the good news of the gospel begins with the missional heart of God, who left his throne room in heaven and he moved into the ghetto of my life to rescue me from sin and death. So as real, true disciples, we're called by God to be fruitful. We're called to go, just like Jesus, into their world to help. When we're fruitful, we're not fake. When we're fruitful, we avoid the consequences of sin. But let me stop there and say this. The ultimate reason for us to be fruitful is not for us. It's not about our character. It's not about what we do. It's about the glory of God. It's about making Jesus famous. It's about people knowing and seeing God through us. Jesus said it this way in verse 8. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. See, when we become fruitful, we begin to honor and glorify God. When we become fruitful, we worship. That's what we are created for. So the question for all of us today is, are we a true disciple? Are we the real thing? What is it that we need to trade in to get more involved in the mission that Jesus has called us to, so that we can bring glory to Him and make Him famous? Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for being a missional God, a God that so loved us poor and needy people that You left Your kingdom, Your throne room, and You came here to a broken and sinful world so that You could rescue us. And thank You for rescuing us by paying the price for our sin, for being punished for what we deserved. And thank You for giving us the gift of Your righteousness so that we could be included in Your kingdom because of who You are and what You've done. Lord, may we glorify You. May we worship You. May we honor You by being fruitful, not just in our character, but in the mission that You've called us to do and to be a part of. May that be a sincere and honest prayer from all of us. And may You, by Your Spirit, guide and encourage and empower us to be that, so that You will be famous. In Jesus' name, amen.